Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four delightful, exciting, talented, humorous people who are going to play Just a Minute. And they are seated on my right, that intrepid performer of this game, the great exponent of Just a Minute, lovely comedian Paul Merton, and seated beside him, our veteran player of this game who contributes so much in his wit and humor, that is Clement Freud, and seated on my left, another delightful comedian who is outrageous on occasions, but always charming and engaging with it, that is Julian Clary. And seated beside him, we welcome someone who's never played the game before, but has come with courage and determination to do battle with these three intrepid fellows, a lovely comedian and stand-up comic, and that is Josie Long. Will you please welcome all four of them? Thank you. And once again, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's not only come along with a sharpened pencil to help me keep the score, but also to blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the centre of Broadcasting House in the West One area of London. And we have a lovely audience in front of us who've come in from the rain and the weather outside to relax and enjoy themselves. So let's hope we can give them what they want as we start the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, here's a good subject to begin with. How to make a cup of tea, starting now.
It largely depends on what sort of tea you want to make, whether it's green tea or black tea. For example, the aforementioned particular colour of tea is very subtly...
Julian Challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, it's not an easy subject to flow on, is it? Mm. Julian, correct challenge. A point to you, 42 seconds available. How to make a cup of tea, starting now.
If I want a cup of tea, I usually go and buy one, but I have been known to make one.
Clement Challenge.
You can't buy a cup of tea.
Why not?
Why not?
Buy a mug of tea.
You buy a cup of tea. If you go into a delicate place where they have a pot and there's a cup, or you can actually buy a cup of tea. Some people give you a cup of tea, some give you a mug of tea.
I know.
It is still possible, wherever you are, to buy a cup of tea. At Joe's Cafe, round the corner from where we live, you can buy a cup of tea. Right. So, incorrect.
How much is this tea at Joe's Cafe?
It's only about 5p.
That's not bad. Where does this cafe exist? 1948? 5p?
It's not a very big cup. Oh, you want a big one, do you, Nicholas? Well, that will cost you 25p, right. You can have a mug for 30p, and have an old bleeding tankard if you want for a whole quid. How do you feel about your tea, Nicholas? I just wanted to...
That was spooky. You were possessed by an alien spirit.
Julian, new challenge, and had a correct challenge. You have 37 seconds. Tell us something. How to make a cup of tea, starting now.
It was Joe who taught me how to make a cup of tea. Here, you need a kettle, governor, he said. I'm not going to keep that voice up for too long, because it might hurt. You need a tea bag, you need a pot.
Paul, challenge.
Repetition of need.
Yes, that's right. And I think he hesitated because of that. Right, 26 seconds. It's back with you, Paul, on how to make a cup of tea, starting now.
I said to Joe, how do you manage to make a profit? Look at that, 4 sponge cakes for a farthing. And he looked me in the eye and he said in that Cockney accent, which we've all grown to love, well, I don't know, and I said, you must have been at the Battle of Waterloo.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition.
Of what? You're not Joe, are you?
No, I think I was right, Clement. There was a bit of a repetition of some incoherent vowel sound. So you have a point for a right, correct challenge. In 12 seconds, we're back with you to tell us how to make a cup of tea, starting now.
You get a cup and put into it a tea bag.
Josie, challenge.
I just wanted to say hello, because I haven't spoken yet. But I brought some cakes.
I don't think it's going to go on as long as that, darling. I hope not, anyway.
Did you make them?
I made them myself. It's buttercream icing. No. Yeah. First time I ever did it. It's easier than you think.
So this is a little bribe, is it?
Well, you could say bribe. But, I just thought if people were eating, it might be harder for them to... Objection.
No, that was lovely, Josie, yes.
It's because I didn't realise how good everyone's so quick on the buzzers. So
I know.
Just thought I'd get in when there was definitely no chance of anyone else buzzing in. Just be like, hello.
So, as we enjoyed your interruption, we'll give you a bonus point for that.
Yes!
But as Clement was interrupted, he gets a point, and he continues for 9 seconds on how to make a cup of tea, starting now.
Boiling water is really pretty important, because without that... the cup of tea is miserable, cold, weak.
So as Clement petered to a full stop on that rather heavy, boring subject, he spoke as a whistle when gained that extra point for doing so. So he's in the lead now at the end of that round. And Julian, we'd like you to start the next round. The subject is my profile. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Very funny about my profile. I prefer the left side to the right. I have been known, when I enter a TV studio, to move all the cameras round to the side that I prefer. And if they refuse, then I just adjust my body. I rotate slightly. It's an eccentricity that I've outgrown as I get older. But when I look at myself in the mirror, I know that on the left...
Josie Chance.
Repetition of left.
That's right. On the left side, he said, right at the beginning. Thank you. You have the audience with you, Josie, so you have 35 seconds. You tell us something about my profile, starting now.
My profile on Facebook is secret because there are a lot of photographs of... Oh.
Whatever she said, oh, about...
It was hesitation, right. 28 seconds, my profile, Clement, starting now.
I have two, which anyone listening to radio will notice. My left...
Paul Challenge.
If they're listening to radio, how will they notice his profile?
Absolutely, completely impossible. Yeah. Paul, a correct challenge. 22 seconds, my profile, starting now.
My profile has been compared to John Barrymore's, the legendary film actor of the 1930s. People say it's not as good. And I think this is fair enough. Because the aforementioned thespian was notorious for the sweep of his aquiline nose and his mouth. It sort of managed to find the Shakespearean sonnets and frame them in such a way that people would say they've never heard.
So Paul Merton kept going till the whistle went magnificently and gained that extra point for speaking as the whistle went and has increased his lead at the end of the round. He's a few points ahead of Clement Freud, then Josie Long and then Julian Clary in that order. Paul, we'd like you to begin the next round of the subject now, showing that we have a little bit of culture in our show, the hippocampus. Can you tell us something about... yes, it is a bit of a challenge, isn't it?
But yeah. Yes...
The hippocampus, starting now.
Every animal needs a place where it can play and learn. For the hippo, it's the hippocampus. There are a variety of lessons that this particular animal can undergo.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of animal.
Yes, you're talking about animal, yes. So, Clement, you have the hippocampus, and you have 50 seconds to tell us something about it, starting now.
A hippocampus is quite simply a gay hippo, and I have come across many of them in my time. Sexually, the animals are hugely private in their affairs and have a number of them with other forfeited...
Oh, it's a tough game, isn't it? Right. Julian, you challenge first. 32 seconds are available. Tell us something about the hippocampus, starting now.
I once was inadvertently locked in a hippocampus overnight. I could hardly walk in the morning. It's a frightening place, but if you treat them gently and speak to them in their own language, they learn to love you.
Paul Challenge.
What is the language of the hippocampus? Because if I meet one, I want to speak to it in its own language. What would that language be?
Well, I'm going to answer for him and say that sometimes people who deal with animals say you speak to them in their own language.
Yes.
And you speak in a soothing... It's the voice that you use and not actually the words that they understand.
Oh, really?
And that's how you speak to them in their language.
Oh.
And I think that's what he was trying to convey.
Yes.
And I'm going to give him the...
Well, that's certainly cleared it up in my mind.
And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
And say that he has another point and 18 seconds on the hippocampus starting now.
Mind you, they do snore. Not a wink of sleep I got. But there were other diversions. The main hippo that I bonded with, and he still writes at Christmas and Easter, was called Jeffrey. He's got lovely feet and lovely teeth.
Paul challenged.
Unfortunately, repetition of lovely.
Yes, I know, yes, it's all too lovely. Right. And you've cleverly got in with 1 second to go. Hippocampus, with you, Paul, starting now.
A new library in Singapore.
For those who want to know, by the way, the hippocampus is an animal which is half horse, the hippo part, which is, of course, the Latin for horse, and campus, which means sea beast. What's that?
As well, yes. But it's also a mythical creature. It's scary to think that part of our brain is a cross between a horse and a fish.
Anyway, let's carry on with the show. I'll give you the score. Paul was speaking as a whistle when getting an extra point, and he's moved forward. He's now ahead of Clement Freud and Julian Clary and Josie Long in that order. And Clement, we'd like you to start again. The subject now is snowboarding. You have 60 seconds, starting now.
When people ask me about the first educational establishment I attended, I tell them it was snowboarding school. In fact, it was a very ordinary...
Julian challenge.
Hesitation.
That was a hesitation, Julian, yes. 50 seconds, starting now.
I'm expert at snowboarding. I go with my friend Joe, who brings a lovely flask of tea. I've got all the gear you need, special boots, mine are green, and shorts, and a little jerkin. We go up the top of a hill, we put our board down, jump on it, yoo-hoo, I say, and speed down. It's the sound of the wind rushing through your hair. You get a lovely lungful, and when you get to the bottom, have a sandwich and a rest before trekking up to the mount again and repeating the entire procedure.
Josie, a challenge.
That was a hesitation.
That was a hesitation, Josie. Yes,
yes, and you've got out of things to say.
You've got in with 13 seconds to go on snowboarding, starting now.
Snowboarding is like cartwheels, it's like flying kites. It is a thing that I cannot do because I do not have any balance whatsoever. The only time I've tried to do it, I fell on my face.
Right, so Josie Long was speaking then when the whistle went and gained that extra point for doing so. She's now equal with Clement Freud and Julian Clary in second place, but they're still training Paul Merton, who's in the lead. Josie, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is moustaches. I don't know whether you have much interest in those or have a reaction to them, but tell us something about them in this game, starting now.
Victorians and 1970s TV detectives have one thing in common, that is facial hair, and I wish I was allowed to grow it without it being unacceptable. The day I realised I would not be able to be hirsute without being... hirsute without being...
Paul challenge.
Well, I did challenge, but then I think it's probably a wrong challenge because it's not a repetition of her suit because the first version was her suite. it's a wrong challenge, I think, probably. I was going to challenge for the repetition of her suit, but she didn't say her suit twice, so...
It was self-correction.
Yes, exactly.
It was an example.
I think you're being very generous as a first-time player of the game and giving her the benefit of the doubt. So you have the benefit of the doubt, Josie, and you have 44 seconds to continue with another point, of course, on moustaches starting now.
This is the day I was heartbroken. I watched East 17, aged 11, and their facial hair was so cool.
Paul challenge.
I think we had facial hair
you
before.
You did mention facial hair before, yes.
I thought it was like a clean slate.
No, it isn't. You can't mention what you were saying when you've been talking before. Sorry. It's a tough game.
But, it's all right. I'm willing to go for it.
You are. You're doing jolly well, and the audience are loving you. 37 seconds with you, Paul, on moustaches starting now.
Lots of people in Iran have moustaches, mainly men. They can't all think it suits them. What's going on? If you look at Charlie Chaplin, he had perhaps one of the most famous moustaches in the early 20th century. Adolf Hitler certainly took notice, and there's a lot of people think that he actually deliberately copied the aforementioned comedian's moustache in order to garner popularity in what was become Nazi Germany, which was an awful place to be, but let's not talk about that. Moustaches are wonderful things. Some people refer to them as soup strainers. If you read P.G. Woodhouse, his books are full of evil villains wearing moustaches, waxing the tips at the end, and you can find in the Guinness Book of Records the world's biggest moustache actually is as long as from here to Stepney, which if you think about...
So Paul Merton kept going magnificently on moustaches, which we all loved and enjoyed, and then until the whistle went, for which he gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Julian, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is working out. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now. Working out.
Working out is an activity that takes place in keep fit establishments and gymnasiums. I did go once and I pulled a muscle. I thought, I'm not going back there, thank you very much. But it freshens you up and apparently it's very good for the brain. If you work out, then the blood gets pumping around you, your lungs expand, and as you mince out after your exercise, you'll think that life has somehow improved. You'll go home, you'll be hungry by then, mind. You'll need carbohydrates.
A Josie Challenge.
He's repeated you'll a lot.
You're, yes, you're this and you're that and you're so forth. So, well, listen, Josie, a correct challenge. 25 seconds are still available. Working out, starting now.
Often in a maths exam, they'll say, show you're working out, but they don't mean it if you get up and jump around.
Julian Challenge.
She repeated, they.
Hmm? Well, yes.
Ouch, all right.
No, if you're going to play that game of theys and yous and so forth, he's got you on the same thing, I'm afraid, Josie. So he has
the subject... You better watch your step, that's all I'm saying.
So he has the subject back again. 18 seconds, working out, Julian, starting now.
Working out costs money, though. There are membership fees to be paid. Some of the flashier is... Oh, dear.
Paul, challenge.
A hesitation.
Yes, sir. It was indeed. 11 seconds, Paul. Tell us something about working out, starting now.
When you work out, it affects that part of your brain known as the hippocampus. And when that's full of adrenaline, you can't stop it. There you are, picking up the weights in either hand, and you say to yourself, I am going to build a...
So once again, Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of that round. Josie got points in the round, so she's now in second place ahead of Julian, Clary and Clement Freud in that order. And Paul, we'd like you to begin the next round. And the subject now is willy-nilly. Will you tell us something about that subject? In this game, starting now.
Willy-nilly, I suppose it means a lack of direction, going all over the place, not being focused on the main point that you wish to achieve. Willy-nilly, it's probably a piece of old English, maybe coming from German. Perhaps in that language it originally sounded like... And that is one of the great things about languages, that I am able...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of language.
Language and languages.
No.
German language, and think about languages.
That's right, it's quite true.
Mm.
He's played the game so often, he's very careful about that. Goes into the plural when he's used the singular.
Yeah.
And so, Paul, another point, another 43 seconds still available. Willy-nilly, starting now.
I always thought it should be the name of a jockey. Somebody who was proud to get onto a horse. Perhaps...
Julian Jones.
Repetition of perhaps.
Yes, perhaps, right. Julian, you have 37 seconds. Tell us something about willy-nilly, starting now.
It's a little-known fact, but willy-nilly is the illegitimate son of Moby Dick. Conceived somewhere in the Seven Seas long ago, but willy-nilly never got over it. He was shunned by fish wherever he went, and they didn't want to speak to him. He never married. He lived a lonely life as a bachelor whale. Willy-nilly passed away a couple of years ago, and he was buried by the state. It was an unattended...
Paul Challenge.
Well, there was an
An I know, but it was so lovely, wasn't it? And Jodie Challenge.
I had a challenge because I don't know which state is in control of Wales. Like,
well,
what state would they be better? If it was
the state we'd ever
seen. The centre's Cardiff.
Whatever state you die in would take care of you.
Right. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Julian, and say you have 8 seconds still available, willy-nilly, starting now.
But what of willy-nilly's mother? That's what we're asking. Turns out she was the Queen of Finland.
Right, so Julian Clare was then speaking on the whistle when gained that extra point for doing so and has moved forward. He's now in second place, a little way behind our leader, Paul Merton, but ahead of Josie Long and Clement Freud. Clement, it's your turn to begin, and the subject now is my favourite Dickens character. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I think it would be Miss Hathaway. Wasn't her name that?
Havisham.
Havisham.
No.
Miss Hathaway's your favourite character? Mm. Which book is she in? In your own time. Mm. Does she appear as the wife of William Shakespeare in Bleak House? But it's his favourite character.
It is his favourite character, yes. But I don't think... I don't think she appears in any of his books. I suppose it would still be your favourite character. But
I did actually mean Miss Havisham.
I know you did.
Too late.
Too late. But yep. So I think we realised that, and Paul got into first with 56 seconds, Paul, on my favourite Dickens character, starting now.
My favourite Dickens crack...
Julian, your light came on first, yes?
Well, it was an attempt to say character. And he said, came out as crooked.
So we call it hesitation or deviation, whichever you like. 54 seconds, Julian, my favourite Dickens character, starting now.
I'm no great fan of Dickens, but if I had to name a favourite character in Dickens novels, I'd go for Pip. What an extraordinary life he led. One minute he was pottering around a graveyard, then someone comes along and says, oh, I'm going to make you incredibly rich. Then he goes to a house and there's Miss Havisham with a good friend Hathaway, and everything's covered in cobwebs, and she's sitting there toothless. Then he meets some other people and he asks for some more dinner. They say no.
Josie, you've challenged.
It's a gross disrespect. Everyone knows that's another Dickens.
That's one. Another Dickens character. Oliver Twist was asking for more. Right, Josie, you've got in with 25 seconds on my favourite Dickens character, starting now.
For me, Great Expectations has my favourite Dickens character too, who is Joe Gargery, Pip's stepfather.
Clement Challenge.
Hesitation.
No, I don't think so. No. I think she was struggling to get the name out because you had to recall it very
that wouldn't be
rather against time. Give Clement a bonus point for what he just said, Mr. But, Josie, were you incorrect, challenge? So you keep the subject, and you have 17 seconds. My favourite Dickens character, starting now.
What larks was his catchphrase, but unfortunately for him, it was not broadcast on television, so he couldn't make any money out of that catchphrase.
Paul, challenge.
Repetition, eventually, of catchphrase. Despite the elongation.
I think we'll call it hesitation. Paul, you've gone in with 8 seconds on my favourite Dickens character, starting now.
My favourite Dickens character is the businessman Jocelyn Crowds. He was tall, handsome, and people would say to him, you'll never throw me...
Right. So, we're moving into the final round. And I'd like to give you the situation as we move into that final round. Paul Merton is still in the lead. He's quite a few points ahead of Julian Clary, who's in second place. And Julian Clary is 1 point ahead of Josie Long. And she's a few points ahead of Clement Freud. And Josie, we'd like you to begin the next round. And the subject is being nice, starting now.
You guys better watch out, I've got a knife. That is an example of someone not being nice. Being nice costs you nothing. That is a lie. I made cakes. That cost me about £3, and I will not get that.
Clement Freud, challenge.
I thought nice was a biscuit.
Isn't it a French resort?
Yes.
There's Nice on the resort, or Nice Biscuits, right. Clement, that has got nothing to do with it. She wasn't deviating from just a minute.
Ah.
We'll give you a bonus point, because it was a clever comment to make on the subject. And but, Josie, you were interrupted, so you get another point, and you have being nice, and you have 49 seconds starting now.
A clever little French quip is not being nice. Sometimes you have to allow people the chance to speak about cakes and their... resentment. Oh.
June in challenge.
Oh, repetition of cakes.
I know.
Yeah. Cake, yes, and hesitation. Right. 40 seconds are available for you, Julian, on being nice, starting now.
I'm very good at being nice. A cheery wave and a smile to passers-by is easy to achieve. I should have been in the priesthood, I think. Then one could have a whole living of being nice to people. Sit down, my son, and tell me all your sins. Wasn't that nice? Instead, I took an alternative route, and in many ways...
Paul challenges.
A hesitation.
Yeah, there was a hesitation there, Julian. So we've got being nice with you, Paul. 16 seconds, starting now.
Being nice is absolutely essential in show business because otherwise nobody would ever employ you. We just go around appealing to producers and directors saying... Will you?
Julian Charles.
What about Jim Davidson?
You've proved my point. Where is he now?
It's a very difficult one to judge on because being nice does get you places. But on the other hand, I know people who are not very nice and have achieved amazing amounts.
Yeah.
So,
Who are you thinking of?
Himself.
You're thinking about yourself there, are you?
Oh, that didn't... That didn't go down very well, Paul.
I was repeating what Clement said.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, I don't want it. Oh, no, sorry.
Yes. Julian's got the benefit of the doubt, and he has 7 seconds on being nice, starting now.
One of the many advantages of being nice is when you lay your head on the pillow before you go to sleep, you could think how nice...
Well, Julian Clary, who's undoubtedly one of the nicest people in show business, brought that particular round to an end with a flourish, but he didn't quite beat Paul Merton, who was in the lead, but he is ahead of Josie Long and Clement Freud in that honour. But once more, Paul, you have the most points, so we say you are our winner this week. So, it only remains for the same. Thank you to these 4 fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Julian Clary, and Josie Long. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle so delicately. And we're also grateful to our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House, who've cheered us on our way with such aplomb and joy. They've been part of the event, made us happy, made you happy. And so from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes!